Can you hear that Rocky Mountain water as it thunders coming down to wash you away? You can't hold back a rising tide, and you can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track. You can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track.
So I was a good boy, Fuzz, and did not wear my Be Gay, Do Crime shirt out to the family outing yesterday.
Around your conservative extended family.
Yeah, it worked out pretty well that I did not wear a shirt that said Be Gay, Do Crime. probably for the best. So, this is Southpaws, episode 419, one away from the weed number 8. This one's titled Big Brother Loves You. Because they want to look into your vagina, if you have one. Or want to know about your girlfriend, if you have one. Basically, if you're a woman, they want to know about your fertility. I'm Saverin.
I'm Fuzz Wolf.
And neither one of us have uteri.
No, we didn't.
So, Shiva is off being cultured, getting to see Hamilton this week.
Good for her.
I hope she enjoys it.
Yeah,
the music's pretty cool. But I have not yet had the desire really to go see it, so I'm not much of a theater guy, nor am I a theater gay.
No, me neither.
But this week instead, we're going to talk about how gaming companies want to know about your fertility.
Yes, so tell me all about Activision Blizzard, Saverin.
So, ActiBlizzard, one of the fine companies we seem to talk about quite a bit on this show.
And I should note, I linked this article in there for you, because I'm not the gamer person here, but I'll let you take a look at this gaming-related bullshit.
Well, this isn't Bobby Kotick's fault, probably, but Activision Blizzard, it was brought to light, they are using an app that tracks your fertility, well, purports to track your fertility.
Or they're partnering with an app.
And if you volunteer your data, they give you $1 gift card credit a day. So for $30, $31 a month, you're giving your health data to some company.
Yeah.
And the quotes from the article, I read the article, and I also listened to the 10-minute or so Jim Sterling video on it,
because
that guy cranks one out super fast.
Nice.
I was cooling down after the mega walk this morning.
You're talking about the most traumatic kinds of pregnancy, too, because, you know, I've seen women on Twitter tweeting about miscarriages or attempts to conceive, and it's like, it can be very dramatic and emotionally draining for couples that are trying to go through like in vitro or any other kind of fertility program. So like they're really kind of targeting a pretty vulnerable demographic.
Yes. Let me just read the excerpts here. Like millions of women, Diana Diller was a devoted user of the pregnancy tracking app Ovia, logging in every night to record new details on a screen asking her about her bodily functions, sex drive, medications, and mood. When she gave birth last spring, she used the app to chart her baby's first online medical data, including her name, her location, and whether there had been any complications before leaving the hospital's recovery room. But someone else was regularly checking in, too. Her employer, which paid to gain access to the intimate details of its workers' personal lives, from their trying to conceive months to early motherhood. Diller's bosses could look up aggregate data on how many workers using Ovia's fertility, pregnancy, and parenting apps had faced high-risk pregnancies or gave birth prematurely, the top medical questions they had researched, and how soon the new moms planned to return to work. Milt Ezard, the vice president of global benefits for Activision Blizzard, a video game giant, credits acceptance of Ovia there to a changing workplace culture where volunteering sensitive information has become more commonplace. In 2014, when the company rolled out incentives for workers who tracked their physical activity with a Fitbit, some employees voiced concerns over what they called a privacy-infringing overreach. But as the company offered more health tracking, including for mental health, sleep, diet, autism, and cancer care, Ezard said workers grew more comfortable with the trade-off and enticed by the financial benefits. Each time we introduced something, there was a bit of an outcry. You're prying into our lives, Ezard said. But we're slowly increased the sensitivity of stuff, and eventually people understood it's all voluntary. There's no gun to your head, and we're gonna reward you if you choose to do it. People's sensitivity, he added, has gone from, hey, Activision Blizzard is Big Brother, to, hey, Activision Blizzard is really bringing me tools that can help me out. Ezer, the benefits executive at Active Lizard, said offering pregnancy programs such as Ovia helps the company stand out in a competitive industry and keep skilled women in the workforce coming back. The company employs roughly 5,000 artists, developers, and other workers in the U.S. I want them to have a healthy baby because it's great for our business experience, Ezard said. Rather than having a baby who's in the neonatal ICU, where she's not able to focus much on work. So, they want... We know all about corporations that are wanting your Fitbit data, and they want people to walk, and they give you incentives on your insurance or penalize you by increasing your insurance rates if you don't. I know a couple people who have had to do that, where like they had to work out X number of hours a day, or get X number of exercise minutes, or X number of steps, or they had to pay like $5 extra on their insurance per month, or something like that. Mm-hmm. And this is them tracking your ovulation cycles and your conception attempts. Mm-hmm. Your company wants to know when you're fucking.
I mean, I know it's not going to be as direct as that, but I could just imagine your Lundberg boss coming up to be like, hey, I know you're having a lot of sex with your wife right now and you're trying to have a baby, but I'm going to need you to come in on Saturday.
Or they get access to the activity log for you and you're like, hey, congrats on the sex last night. And they hold up their hand to high five you.
Yeah.
So this is probably not unique to Activision Blizzard. It's just related to, wow, Activision Blizzard is a really shit company. And it's really sad how far down the hole they've gone, but this is where they are nowadays.
How far down this particular hole is even more disturbing.
Yeah, they want to be all the way down your hole, like yelling into the uterus and checking for echo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, knocking on the cervix and seeing if the baby knocks back. That's not how that works. But
hello, future gamer / employee.
They have the vaginal speaker. Like, okay, shove this up your vagina and play the opening theme to the current Warcraft expansion.
Oh, God.
And, you know, we want your baby to choose, you know, instead of pink and blue, it's red and royal blue. It's like, is your baby Horde or Alliance?
Oh, God.
You have your assigned Horde at birth, assigned Alliance at birth.
Jeez. What are they called again? The sides?
The Horde and Alliance.
No, I know the Horde and Alliance, but what are they? Chapters?
They're factions.
Factions. Okay, so you have a faction reveal party.
Yeah. My baby's gonna be an Alliance paladin. But he's not gonna be like a human or something. He'll be a dwarf. Maybe a girl dwarf, because they're really rare. You know?
I hope I give birth to a shiny.
Wrong game, Fuzz, but okay.
Well, I'm sure there's some rare thing or something.
Yeah, like if you could...
I hope my baby has the really rare armor with the huge shoulder pads that clip into her head.
Yes.
This is something I remember Tyrion telling me about years ago. Was like he got some super cool armor, but the way it was designed, it didn't work well with his character's design. So if he turned certain ways, the shoulder pads would like clip into his Torn's head.
Yeah. It was the old Battleguard armor from like PvP, and he, whenever he jumped, it had these little like half circle horns on it, and whenever they jumped, they would stab into his skull. The armor in WoW could be pretty hazardous to your character's health.
Wow.
If you're not character. I mean, it didn't actually hurt you, but it clips through your body.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that's... This is fine.
Yeah, this is fine. Yeah.
So, Active Blizzard, their corporate culture in general is really bad.
This is like an extension of the spy on you gadget you can put in cars. Uh-huh. So that insurance companies can raise or lower your rates depending on your driving. And it is really concerning when it's about health insurance because of the hellscape country that we live in when it comes health insurance.
Like, looks like you're having a bit of a rough go of it. Your health isn't showing up pretty good. Oh, time to lay you off from work or raise your health insurance rates because it looks like you might have a problematic delivery. You know, we talked about our dark cyberpunk future. Well, guess what? This is part of it, where corporations are knowing all of our personal data and weaponizing it against us. Oh, if you have nothing to hide, you have nothing to fear. Well, guess what? Like, if your company wanted to know when you're fucking at all, it's like, oh, you know, are you potentially going to be a STI risk? We need to up your insurance because you're out there. Oh, this person, this furry attended a furry con. We better, like, make sure they get STI checked. before and after because we don't want to have to jack their insurance up. Or, oh, this guy went out to Texas Bear Roundup.
They're not trying to get pregnant at the Texas Bear Roundup, like, but yeah. We keep trying.
As a gay couple using that, it's like, we keep fucking, but, you know, we just can't get pregnant. We'll just keep trying, though.
Yeah, I would encourage anyone that can't have a baby in their relationship to use this app anyway, just to rake in that sweet dollar a day.
Yeah, man, 31 bucks a month. You can use that to faction change your character, and wow, because it says they give you a gift card of some sort, but they didn't indicate like where. So it's a gift card, or it's BattleNet credit, so you can buy some loot boxes, get some card packs in Hearthstone in a trade for your health data. I would not advise doing that.
When I when my sister was pregnant, I did buy her a bump box, which is I just got her one. It was a bigger one that covered like the first trimester, and it was a cute idea. But basically, it's a subscription box that you can get for mothers and expecting mothers that send them stuff in the mail. And I'm just like, it's kind of like a baby loot box, but apparently it had like really nice lotions and other stuff. Then stuff to settle your stomach, because the first 3 months are usually when morning sickness kicks in and stuff like that. Like, just in vitamins and supplements and things like that. Like, it was a sweet idea. But, yeah, I was just like, hey, it's a loot box.
Yeah, loot crate for babies.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's at least potentially useful. You're not having to give,
yeah,
like, actual data. Because in that excerpt I read, like, she was filling this data out in the recovery room. She just popped this sucker out and was off the epidural or painkillers for whatever, you know, style of birth she had, and was filling out data on her app instead of, yo, can I hold that baby, that little sausage I just popped out?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure, it might cost me $39.95, but I want to hold that baby.
So I'd seen someone tweeting an argument a couple weeks back about it. There was a woman had been talking to another woman who was insisting that C-sections don't count as birth, and they, yeah.
Insert look of visual confusion here.
I know, or it doesn't count as a delivery. And she's like, I'm sorry, my friends, but all I could think of to say was, well, it ain't DiGiorno's. Just, oh, God. But so on a similar note of horrifying things that our healthcare industry does to people, this is something that I've just discovered, but is something that has been a known thing for a while now, that if you're diagnosed autistic, you may not be able to give or receive an organ transplant.
Not be able to receive?
Yeah.
I mean, okay, I admit I saw a couple of people like tweeting some things about that, but I was very busy on the day they were getting retweeted. That was yesterday.
Yeah.
I was out of the house like from 11 o'clock until 10 p.m. So
initially, I wasn't going to bring it up because I hadn't done research. And I just Googled it, and I found like a whole bunch of articles. And it's part of a wider issue of mental health, and basically any kind of disability or mental health diagnosis or anything like that, is that when they're deciding who to give an organ to, the calculus that they go through, it basically comes down to the inhumane question of, well, do we really want to waste this kidney on this person? You know, so if they're old, unless they're rich, if they're in bad health, if they're autistic, if they have a history of mental illness, and I guess they just kind of think, oh, this person doesn't have enough to offer society, so they don't get this heart. And, you know, yeah, there's a shortage of organs, and the it's so fucked up that, like, that's part of it. Because it also implies that, like, people who have any kind of condition are less human or less valuable as people and don't deserve to live, you know, and that is completely fucked up. And this is something that disability rights activists have known about for a long time. And yeah, I mean, obviously I've been in this is my privilege showing of, like, I was not aware that this was happening.
I mean, and that's so fucked. What are they going to do? Like, oh, are they not going to take care of the organ? What does that even mean?
It's also saying that if you're autistic or you have Asperger's or anything like that, that you don't have anything to give to society, which is, like, a really fucked up metric anyway, but it's such a disgusting judgment. And on people,
like, an autistic person's organs, the autism is not stored in the organs.
I know,
like, in the brain, I'm sure, but I'm pretty sure it doesn't have physiological changes to your organs.
And I don't know all the science behind that, but I'm pretty sure that even if it was genetic, if you put an autistic person's kidney in somebody, it's not going to transmit autism to their brain.
That doesn't work that way.
It's
so
just,
weird.
It's a really strange thing.
God, it feels like it's probably a really old decision, too, kind of like the continued prohibition against gay men donating blood. Even though they test all blood before it goes anywhere.
Yeah.
They still are like, oh, you know, if you've had gay sex in the past year, you can't donate blood. And I'm like, but you already test it before anything goes out. Like, some chick that's had a dozen different partners has a higher chance of having STDs than me, who's been with, like, two.
Not to slut shame.
No, but I'm just saying, it's like the odds of, you know, a heterosexual person is at a probably much higher rate of chance of having it than, say, me, who's very selective, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's not, being gay is not an indication, your sexuality, regardless, is not an indication of your risk factor for STDs.
But it just feels like it comes out of that same era of decision making.
Yeah, yeah.
Where it's like, they're not normal. They don't get organs or blood or whatever.
And it's also just part of the way that our society looks at everybody who's not able-bodied heterosexuals, you know?
Who are also white.
Yeah. Like, if you're on disability, you must have done something to deserve it, or you deserve to be poor because you're living off the government. And, like, it's just, people are just so fucking judgmental, you know? See somebody in a wheelchair and look at them with disgust. It's like, what the fuck?
I saw some furry tweeting about this the other day too. Some wannabe poppy fur fursuiter who was like, oh, I can't stand these furries that use the fandom like an ATM. Oh, why couldn't they plan for their emergency? And I'm like, oh gosh, why didn't they think to be psychic? Why didn't they think of that?
And the thing is, like, you could have $1 million in the bank and a really bad cancer that you survive will wipe you out and then some. I mean, you know, and obviously none of us have $1 million in the bank.
Oh, goodness, no.
You know? It's just crazy, the whole they didn't plan. It's like, I've known people that have planned, that have money in the bank for an emergency, and that's a rarity, because, you know, a lot of folks are living paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah.
And that's just the way our economy is, which is,
you know, our healthcare system in general.
And our healthcare system, and also, like, tying your ability to have healthcare to your job is fucked up.
Oh, yeah. Like, for me,
lower standard of healthcare if you have to get it outside of a work health plan.
If I didn't have coverage through Panther's job, I'd be dead by now, because it wouldn't have covered my weight loss surgery, and I'd probably have died in my sleep. I didn't have my sleep apnea treated either. So, like, yeah, if only because my partner's health insurance covered me and covered the things I needed is probably the only reason I'm not dead, because I couldn't have afforded these things otherwise. I think I think I've brought this up before, but, like, the hospital bill before the insurance was like, oh, yeah, you've already hit your out-of-pocket for the year, that you have to pay $2,500. It was like $120,000.
Wasn't even your, like, gallbladder surgery like $40,000?
It was like $7,000.
Okay. Well, that's a little more.
I think it was pretty high. Yeah. I think my ER bit visit for that was like $7,000.
Yeah.
That I ended up having to pay like $1,000 of. It was bad.
Yeah.
Because it happened right at the end of the year, too.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we have to schedule our medical emergencies until, like, either the start of the year, so because our out of deductible doesn't roll over, right?
Yeah. And you hear about people holding on or having an issue and not going to the doctor because they know they can't afford it. And, oh, did you read this crazy tweet story the other day about a woman who was on the train, and there was another young woman that kind of on the train that called her over and said, hey, handed her this laminated paper and was like, can you watch me for a minute? And basically it was this paper basically said, I have seizures like 2 to 4 times a day, and it will basically completely take me out for up to 30 to 60 minutes. And I need someone to not call the ER because this is this known condition that I have that nobody can help with. And I can't afford to keep being brought into the emergency room because, yeah, if you just see somebody having a seizure on a train, your good Samaritan instinct is to call 911, right?
Yeah.
And get an ambulance. But like this young woman was only like 19 or 20. Like she was super young and she didn't want to be a bother. So she only wanted this other person that tweeted this story to like stay with her to the next stop. And then she'd like make her way to her apartment, and like she couldn't in good conscience not like escort her to her apartment, you know, just knowing that she could be in the middle of the parking lot, have another seizure, and be completely vulnerable. And it's like she's living her life with this laminated sheet of paper as her only defense.
And against crippling debt.
Yeah, and it's just such a fucked up situation.
Yeah, and that kind of ties me back into a tweet I saw this morning where Howard Schultz, the coffee bean overlord. Did you see this tweet, Fuzz?
I did not. His name is familiar. Remind me who he is.
Howard Schultz is the billionaire running for Congress or running for president under the auspices of being a centrist.
Oh, wasn't he the CEO or former CEO of Starbucks?
Yes. Okay. The coffee bean lord.
Gotcha.
And he tweeted that under Bernie's new Medicare for All bill, up to 180 million people will lose their current health coverage. His Medicare for All bill will cause people to lose their current health coverage. Many people had good replies, but one I particularly liked was, if I free those hostages in my basement, they'll lose the free cans of soup I throw down every morning.
And that free room and board.
If we abolish prisons, a huge quantity of people, a lot of the minorities, will lose their food and housing. Stuff like that.
Wow, I called that, I guess.
Yeah, shit. But it's that same general thought.
Yeah, yeah.
Where it's like, you know, we have this nightmare of a system. And unfortunately, it's one of those things that it's a bit of a stunt. Because even if it was, it will probably pass the House if it gets a vote. But, you know, you got the Senate, which needs to be abolished, and the president, which also needs to be abolished in another way.
The office of the president or just this particular president?
Yeah.
I mean, I feel that, like, the founders and the structure of our government was pretty good overall, but they also said at the time that political parties were a terrible idea and we should never ever have them, so they totally did not predict two diametrically opposed sides and gridlock and greed and more money than they could ever fucking imagine in the 18th century going into politics. Like, the original concept of a congressperson was that you would still be working. You would be a businessman or something, and you would then go and serve in Congress as a service to your community. And then you would go back and you would still be doing your job the rest of the time, not that you would be campaigning constantly to stay in power. And it wasn't supposed to be a in power situation.
Yeah. But it was also like the 1700s, and we really need to quit fetishizing that time period. And we honestly need a new tear down and reorganize government from the ground up to be a modern government.
Yeah. I mean, it's 2019. There are other countries that are literally thousands of years older than this one, and like they can adjust with the times and evolve, but this constitutionalist idea that we have to, there's those two different aspects of looking at the Constitution as One is that we have to follow it to the letter the way it was originally written, with no thought as to what's happened in the last 240 odd years. And then there's the other one that is the Constitution is a living document and can and should be amended and altered to the time that it is in.
Yeah.
That is why we even have amendments, including the oh so precious Second Amendment.
Yeah. Honestly, but in a magical ideal world, we would have tossed it out the window and gotten a new one by now.
Yeah. And I was reading about this Supreme Court case the other day that was a bad decision, and I don't remember what it was, but it was the decision was completely contrary to logic, and reading the justification of it, and I was just like, this is just like the Bible. Like, the Bible and the Constitution are these old documents that can be interpreted by anyone to say whatever you want. If you're wily enough with your words, you can justify anything using those two documents. And it's just, it's fucked up. And that's why we've had some court decisions that have overthrown past decisions, because they're like, yeah, we realized this was fucked up and now we're in a different system and our understanding of shit has changed. But so much of what we do is still mired in the thinking of 200 years ago, and it's just nuts.
So moving on to a lighter topic that is infinitely more cool to me.
Space. The last place to be infested by capitalism. Space!
Yes. So this week, we finally got our first ever image of a black hole.
I don't know what you're talking about. I've been going to furry cons for years.
Yeah.
Insert tired fox joke here. But anyway.
No. So this is really, really cool.
It is, yeah.
Because it's an image of a thing that up until now was theoretical.
Right.
Like, the math checked out, but we didn't have proof they existed.
Right. And this was apparently one of Einstein's theories that has now been proven that we actually have evidence for.
And the young woman involved, I gotta find the...
So, I don't remember, about 3 years ago, she was... like, I guess the head of the team that was, like, writing the algorithm to figure this out. Something like that.
In any event, it uses multiple radio telescopes around the planet on this hemisphere to basically gaze into deep space. And they got what is essentially a head-on image or top-down image of the core of the galaxy M87.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like they expected it to. A black nothingness surrounded by superheated light and gas.
Katie Bowman,
okay. Very smart young woman. And very young, too. And she's, like, in her 20s?
I think so, yeah. Here's a picture of her with what looks like, I guess that's a shitload of hard drives?
Yeah, because the amount of data they had to process to get that image was intense.
Petabytes.
Yeah. It's really cool because this is something that you'd seen in... well, I wouldn't say you've seen in science fiction, but also seen illustrated in, like, science books for children as a thing. Like, if you look for images of black hole, there's, like, illustrations, I think, from the 80s or whatever, of this accretion disk of glowing plasma as a sun's getting sucked into a black hole.
Mm-hmm.
And turns out that's kind of what it looks like. And the math and the theory checked out, and this is what the image looks like.
Yeah.
The next thing that they're trying to do is get an image of Sagittarius A, which is the supermassive black hole at the center of our galaxy, which is cool. A little bit more difficult because there's a lot of stellar mass between us and it. So that means that they have to, like, use even more data to try to get a shot.
All these M-class planets are in the way.
All these stars and planets and gas clouds just whipping around the core of our galaxy. It's just so cool that, like, we're able to get an idea, a glimpse at the core of our galaxy.
Mm.
It's like 30-something thousand light years away from us.
Yeah. I think the one that they took the picture of is, like, 55.1 million light years or something like that.
Because that's way, way far away. But core of this...
literally looking into the past. Like, the summary I saw was, guys, we turned our entire planet into a telescope and time traveled 50 million years in the past to get this picture.
That's actually really true. Trying to get a shot of Sagittarius A, which is a lot closer is still going to be hard because I think I saw a good comparison. It's hard to take a picture of your house inside your house.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really exciting. I also saw another thing recently that they've just decided and they've kind of figured out that the Milky Way galaxy is actually twice as wide as they thought it was.
Oh.
Instead of just 100,000 light years, it's 200,000 light years because the stars furthest out, like even though they're thinning, they still count as being part of this galaxy. So they're approximately 200,000 light years from point to point.
So I was showing Saverin something. The reason he chuckled there was someone posted this picture of the black hole. And if you zoom in really close, there's a little blue box.
Yeah. Well, I mean, isn't it mentioned in one of the episodes where they had to refuel the TARDIS by a black hole or something like that?
No. In Christopher Eccleston's season, he had to park her in Cardiff on top of the time-space rift.
Okay.
Oh wait. Oh, I know what you're the other one you're thinking of is that he was the 10th Doctor was quote burning up a planet to say goodbye, and it was something I don't remember the details. He was in orbit of something that was like getting sucked into a black hole because Time Lord technology is based on stellar manipulation and basically creating artificial black holes to power TARDISes. That's how they travel through time.
Oh.
Yeah, there's actually, there's basically a black hole inside each TARDIS.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay, because I knew there was something black hole, something, something, black hole, something TARDIS.
Yes,
so that's why I was like, I get that. Fuzz will enjoy that.
Yeah, totally. It's just very cool, and unfortunately the downside of it is the men that are coming out and trying to, like, discredit or, you know, the accomplishments of the scientist in charge because she's a woman. And, you know, when you think about, like, our scientific development, women have been at the heart of a lot of them, and they have not gotten the credit. You know, it's like, it was Hedy Lamarr, right? In her spare time.
Yeah, she basically figured out Wi-Fi.
Invented Wi-Fi in, like, what, the 40s?
Yeah, something like that. Well, being an actress.
Yeah, yeah. Like, oh, she was known for being an actress, but on the side, she also invented Wi-Fi. And then in the 60s, there's all these women manually calculating these massive equations for the Apollo moon landing.
Yeah, they did a movie recently, Hidden Figures, about
that. Yeah, and there's more than that as well.
Marie Curie.
It's like, yeah, Marie Curie. I mean, there's just a long history of, like, there's so many of these shitty situations of men taking credit for a woman's work where another woman had worked with a man on some major thing and he got the Nobel Prize in science, but it was only given to him. Like, her name was, like, completely stripped off of all of the actual documentation and everything.
Huh.
Like, yeah, it was really fucked up. Doesn't surprise
me. It's like, I had not seen people trying to discredit her because I'd been like, that's so cool, but I've not been like looking at comments about it because I'm like, OMG, space, this is so cool, I am so happy for it. Not
some of the comments are also saying that it's a really bad picture, it's really low resolution, and yeah, I know, right? And somebody replied, they're like, well, here's the 4K resolution from the center, and they replied with just a black pure black image.
Well, and not even that.
And I'm like, I'm sure this is something that the resolution or whatever will get better in, you know, with the next 40, 50 years of calculations. But come the fuck on. This is something that humans have never seen.
The image itself that we see is this mega zoomed in thing because the image they actually got was like 40 nanometers across in the image they had. So it's like,
yeah,
they got this astounding, amazing picture of space that is petabytes in size. They had to zoom way in to find the little glowy black hole. And then they crop it and snip it and be like, we did it, dudes! Holy crap!
Yeah, I'm just...
And then people
I'm really disappointed that
why isn't it HD?
Yeah, I know, right? Like, ugh. This doesn't make an appropriate screensaver for my PS4 wallpaper.
Well, it was really funny because, like, the people on the Elite Dangerous subreddit were very excited.
Oh, I imagine,
because
yeah.
Because they're like, you know, it's a space game. I love the space game, and going to black holes is really cool. The black holes that you deal with in Elite Dangerous that are within like the Milky Way galaxy, they're micro scale. They have like a solar mass or so, not a supermassive black hole at the heart of a galaxy.
Right.
So they don't have accretion disks, and you can't get sucked in and die. But like they have some really cool visual effects if you get too close. And you can go to Sagittarius A, which is at the core of the galaxy in the game. And I'm on my way there, but I'm taking my time.
But the center of the galaxy can't be reached. No starship has ever breached the Great Barrier.
Well, guess what?
That's from Star Trek V.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm a nerd. What does God need with a starship?
6.5 billion solar masses. That's a big one. That's a chonky boy.
Look at this black hole.
Absolute unit.
It's thick. Absolutely. So let's, unfortunately, let's talk about another shitty person. Former Pope Benedict the 16th. Recently,
Not one of the good Benedicts.
No.
Like Benedict. Yeah. Benedict Cumberbatch. I was like, I'm not going to mangle his name. And then I mangled his name. I'm so good at words.
Benedict Cumberbatch. Eggs Benedict. Not Benedict Arnold, but. Hey, that's the only one that I can remember right now. But yeah, he's about 92, and he really wrote this old man yells at sky type statement and released it. And basically it was like all that child sexual abuse happened because of the 60s sexual liberation and gays, you know, and the declining morality of the Catholic Church. And, you know, he didn't blame it on this culture of abuse that's festered in the Catholic Church. Or he said that happened because, oh, we became too sexually liberal. We stopped being so repressed, so we started fucking kids.
Last I checked, the Magdalene laundries happened well before the 60s. Just gonna guess.
Yeah, fuck that guy is really all I can say. Like, I mean, he said, and apparently he said he was gonna like not speak out on shit, but he felt really strongly about this because he was like one of the bishops in charge of one of these councils back in the day that looked into this shit and decided to just not do anything about it. I mean, you know,
it shouldn't be a surprise to anybody that sexual abuse in religious institutions has been occurring as long as there's been religious institutions. You give somebody an ounce of power and they're going to abuse it one way or another. Sure, there's probably good ones here and there, but there are going to be plenty of people that take advantage of the ability to be like, oh, if you don't do this, you're going to hell. But, I mean, it very much is an old man yells at cloud situation, so I'm not going to give it any credence, but then again, I'm not a Catholic, who probably might. But I think all the reactions I saw to it were like, that guy's still alive?
Yeah. Yeah, he is. And I'm just like, you know, honestly, I'm just so tired of the Catholic Church's bullshit. Like, I could barely muster the energy to be angry about this. I'm just like, fuck this guy. You know? Whatever. I've lost it. I've just, you ever get that where you're just so mad that you're just like,
you can't even?
Yeah. I can't even. I can't odd. I mean,
gonna have to go on a tangent and be irrational number? I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. I'll be an imaginary number.
An imaginary number, that's it.
Yeah.
Anyways. Yeah, it's old man yells at cloud, tries to blame the failings. Time-traveling gay priests from the 70s caused all those molestations.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why there was all those dead babies at the Magdalene laundries from the 1800s. And yeah, it was the time-traveling gays.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really wish we'd used our game time travel abilities for better things, but I guess they didn't get the right people to get the technology.
We were not God's chosen people.
Clearly. So, in Sounds About White news...
Oh, fuck. Okay.
The police have arrested a 23-year-old man...
Oh, God, this fucker.
Holden Matthews... in connection with the fires that destroyed three black churches in Louisiana in the last 2 weeks. Matthews is the son of a St. Landry's sheriff's deputy and has neo-Nazi ties.
Wow. Everything about that is so shocking.
I know, right?
You know, like, wow, never would have thought it would have been someone that this description.
This Andrew WKKK looking fool.
Oh my god, I mean, you look up douchebag in a dictionary and there's just a picture of this guy.
He's this large, moist son with... And the picture they used is, like, he's got an American flag tank top, an American flag swim trunks, sunglasses, and a backward hat. It's Florida Man, except he's in Louisiana and a neo-Nazi and burned down 3 black churches.
Woo! Spring break! We're gonna go down to Slide L and burn some churches!
You know, why couldn't they just gone and locked each other in saves, like, you know, and they do in Fort Lauderdale?
Jacksonville.
Yeah. Damn it.
We were talking about The Good Place earlier.
Yeah, it's interesting too because the kid was turned in by his dad. I mean, how much do you have to had screwed up that your dad turns you in?
That your cop dad turns you in for being too racist.
Yo, son, you know, you could have waited until you became a cop to be so racist, but...
And then the department would have protected you. Oh, and the other thing that really pisses me off about that, all the articles are like, we're still looking into the motive, you know? We just don't know. And it's like, I'm fairly sure every black person knows what the motive is. I'm pretty sure what the motive was. And I mean, I don't know if they have to put that in the article because he hasn't gone to trial yet and the investigation is obviously an ongoing one, but...
The kid was not a brain genius either. He used his debit card and ID to purchase gas cans, lighters, and a 10-pack of shop towels on the 25th. That same color and model pickup that Matthews drives was also present at 2 of the churches shortly before the fires were reported in 911, according to video footage. FBI agent Eric J. Rommel, R-O-M-M-A-L, that's still a very unfortunate surname, also at the press conference said the Bureau is investigating whether the crimes were, quote, bias motivated. Right now, we're making sure we gather all the facts, he said when pressed on the issue. A Facebook page that appeared to belong to Matthews showed that he was active in pagan and black metal pages, and that he commented on 2 memes about far-right former neo-Nazi metal musician Varg Vikernes, who served 15 years in prison for killing a fellow metal musician and burning churches in Norway. The comments revealed little other than they indicated his familiarity with the figure.
Which, this is a series that last podcast on the left did on the black metal scene.
Yeah, Varg Vikernes is a real piece of work. And he's out of prison, but he's still on the internet and doing stuff. But
just the fact that they're kind of like, we don't know what the motive was, but black metal... It's kind of like, yeah, let's blame the music right off the bat, but let's hold off on saying that he was racist this was a racially motivated act.
Varg Vikernes did burn down churches and murdered one of his bandmates, but it wasn't because the metal.
He was just a bad person.
Yeah, and this guy burning, this white boy burning down 3 black churches in Louisiana, it is a mystery as to why he might have focused on rural black churches and not, say, the megachurch in his hometown. It sure is a mystery.
Yeah.
One of the pagan pages Matthews was active on specifically forbade racism and Nazi stuff. Like, they're trying to... God, he even made posts like this. In one post, a group member noted that a drawing of a pagan figure had a swastika-like design on his belt, and, quote, well, yeah, the belt gives him extra strength and power, ellipsis, white power, Lamal, JK, I had to, Matthews wrote.
Oh, yeah, this is the classic, oh, I'm just joking about racism and Nazism and a swastika being on there. But.
While Governor Edwards said he didn't know what Matthews' alleged motive was, it cannot be justified or rationalized. It was an evil act. But you can't figure it out, guys. You can't.
Really?
It's pretty obvious. Yeah, you want to have, like, oh, what's the hard proof? It's like, well, he's in black metal, and now they're going to try to blame him. Oh, it's because he's a Satanist pagan, and not like, no, he's just a white supremacist. Yeah. The religion part added to it, but he's also a white supremacist. You know, if he's posting drawings of characters with, like, swastikas on their belt. And I gotta say, though, running into these kind of people in real life is disturbing as hell. I went to Home Depot the other day, and I noticed this twiggy little white dude on the way out, and... You know, anytime you see somebody with full-on sleeve tats on both things plus stuff on their neck, that's a bit of a red flag. Hate to say it, but it is. Like, if you get cool ink, it's going to be pretty easy to see. Like, I've seen dudes that have, like, Pokemon and stuff on their sleeve tats, and they're colorful and bright, and you can kind of tell what they are. But this was, like, done in prison green, mm-hmm. and this dude's right arm had this big ol' Odin tat. You know, one eye had the big horned helmet, which Vikings didn't have. And I'm like,
And fuck them for trying to, like, infuse Norse mythology with their bullshit.
Oh, yeah. You know, like, it's been really co-opted. And there are groups out there that are trying to push back against that. But, you know, it's a common thing, like Sons of Odin and stuff like that, or white supremacist groups that operate here in the U.S. While, like, in Scandinavia, they're like, nah, dude. I mean, I'm sure they exist out there, too, but it's Americans who are probably in no way Scandinavian in origin and have no, like, link back to the culture, but trying to claim this stuff. But this dude in the Odin, that's a red flag. But then above the flag, you have the white pride logo, the little, like, cross with a circle that's been used on, like, Stormfront and the like, and a gosh damn swastika.
Oh, well, shit, you buried the lead
there. Yeah, well, that was the thing, is, like, red flag. And the flag just, like, starts, you know, like, when you select an image in Photoshop and it just starts scaling, you just scale it wildly and it just, whoop, you know, it's 400% of the canvas now. It is now just, the entire screen is just red.
Oh.
Because.
This is better resolution than that crappy black hole image.
And, like, I don't think anybody was dealing business with him. He seemed like he was being ignored, which I would hope for. But I was just kind of shocked that, oh yeah, these people exist. You know, one does not expect Home Depot Nazis or Carrollton Nazis.
Yeah.
But they're here, and they very helpfully, like, advertise it on their skin sometimes, at least the old school ones. The new school ones want to just, you know, dress up in business suits and call themselves the American Identity Movement or whatever.
For fuck's sake.
But yeah, that was disturbing because
yeah.
I had a little woodworking project and I needed to go get some stuff from Home Depot. And oh, well, this was unexpected. You know, yeah, a braver man than I would just be like, hey, man, when are you getting that ink off?
Like, you know, it's the 21st century now.
They can take that stuff off pretty easy. It's not even that expensive. There's some groups, Life After Hate, that'll even help you subsidize getting that off.
Yeah, like they could, like, tattoo some flowers over it or something.
Yeah, or just make it all black. You can do that. You can just...
Your entire arm is fucking ebony now. You know?
Except it looked green.
Your cosplay as the Winter Soldier would be really effective.
Yeah. So, that's in the news, but also not surprising in the least.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just befuddled that these people exist. It's like, what the fuck, man? Like, and I've been listening to Behind the Bastards recently. They were talking about, they did a two-part episode on this guy that the Christchurch shooter had mentioned in his manifesto several times. And, like, this dude was born in the late 1800s and was active in, like, the British fascism movement between the wars and shortly after the Second World War. And he was basically just like one of these modern people where he was deliberately not saying anything anti-Semitic for a really long time. Oh, no, we're not anti-Semitic, you know, and eventually, you know, but the Jews, you know, it got out in there eventually. But, like, they had that group, the Black Shirts. This was the guy that, like, came up with that, like, this Nazi youth movement in Britain. And it's like, it's a very interesting episode, but basically the takeaway of it was exactly what's happening right now. And it was, the host was just like, nothing changes. We never learn, you know, and this is the exact same bullshit. You know, we are where we were 100 years ago. And he's also doing another podcast called It Could Happen Here or It Will Happen Here. He was unclear. He fucked up name of his own show and I haven't Googled it yet. But it's basically a podcast about how a second civil war could happen in America nowadays.
Well, the book It Can't Happen Here was written in, like, the 30s, I think. And my dad read it recently, and he was very alarmed because he was like, holy crap, the person in this book is really close to Donald Trump, and the rhetoric that he's seeing is like,
yeah.
This book was written 80, 90 years ago, and it's really, this is what's happening today, and I'm very disturbed. We discussed it and whatnot.
If you're not worried, you're not paying attention.
Yeah, because, like, we don't want to be all super negative, but it's scary, y'all.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
On a nicer front, though.
Yay!
Changing the topics.
Not a national front, a nicer front.
Yes, on a good front, on a good news. So, last week, Dog Bomb checked out.
Yeah.
Props to him for choosing his time and place, because he was like, man, either I do it now or I'm going to suffocate.
Yeah.
That would fucking suck. So,
and as Shiva said, it's a really horrible way to die. And I totally support not letting the disease take its course and drown him in his own lung fluid.
Yeah, because I wouldn't say grandma, but she was basically the closest thing I had to a grandma locally. And she died of that. And it was very scarring to see happen, because I didn't know why she was dying, but she died. But she had ALS, and she was there to the bitter end, because Texas doesn't have assisted suicide. But it was traumatic. And, you know, I am glad for all the good impact he had and all the inspiration that he brought people. And, like, I'd never met the dude. I'd just seen his stuff in passing. But even I was, like, tearing up when I was seeing all the tribute work and all that.
I remember talking about him on the old podcast years ago, because he had, and I don't remember the specifics now, but this was like 8 years ago or something, that he'd done something cool with like some kid that had some condition where they couldn't really socialize, and like he had interacted with them in fursuit, and the parents were like, that's the first time he's smiled in like months and stuff like that, and like brought him out of his shell. But like, even before his diagnosis and all of his efforts to raise awareness and charity money for ALS research, he was always doing stuff like this. You know, he was always a very conscientious person, very optimistic and upbeat, and trying to use the good of Furry to the best of his ability, and like, definitely a good guy. And I'll be honest, if I got a terminal illness, I really, you know, we all deal with trauma in our own way, but I don't know if I would have that strength.
Yeah, I mean, he made the best of his situation, and to borrow the Kevin Smith phrase, big bucket of wind for him.
Right,
for all the good absolutely. That he did. And even in death, he's out doing some good, because according to people's calculations, the fandom has raised over $20,000 for ALS in the past little bit.
And now Boozy has to get a
badger tattoo on his butt. The badger hussy.
Yes. I actually had it pulled up on my phone. Okay, I didn't know if you
saw Dio's tweet about it. And so
I think Dio or Dixie.
Well, Dio posted about it, but the...
Oh, it is. Yes, slap that meat, someone. Boozy Badger is getting a tattoo on his ass for charity. And the funniest thing about this is I don't even know if Boozy agreed to do this or if it just took off on its own. But the drawing is by Sue Deer, who is an old school furry. And yeah, it's a very sassy drawing. But, I mean, yeah, that's the other thing, is that, like, when people complain, when furries complain about furries and complain about the fandom and talk about, oh, it's all horrible and toxic and stuff like that. Yeah, we do have some horrible, toxic people, and they are being addressed. And I think that's a good thing. But there's also this massive amount of charity and good things that this community does. And even people outside the fandom have noticed. They're like, wow, like, people really stepped up and supported this dude and raised all this money. Like, you know, pat yourselves on the back. We're part of an amazing community that can do really great things. And, you know, fuck the Nazis and the haters. Like, you know, they ain't got no place here. But this guy is a good egg, definitely. And, yeah, you should totally, like donate to an ALS charity.
Yeah, it's ALSA.org. It's really easy to do.
You know, and put it in the, you know, you can donate in somebody's honor. Put Tony Dogbomb Barrett as the honoree You know, because that's what he wanted people to do. He's also put out there that, like, people can make art and pins and T-shirts and stuff of his character as long as the profits from it go towards ALS research.
And he even donated his body to science and wrote a letter to go with his body.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I mean,
that's cool as hell.
Dude had a total sense of humor about his impending death. And he had said that he'd gotten some flack or some responses after he had announced that he was making the decision to do the medical suicide. And he's like, I realize I hadn't really posted about where I'm at these days. And at that point, which was a couple months before he died, he was like, nothing below the knee works. One of my hands is useless. The other one is shaky. I'm having trouble swallowing. Talking clearly is difficult. And, you know, with the when you do the medical suicide, it's you have to still be physically well enough to push the button yourself.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, that's the way the law is. Like, as far as I know, all the states that have the medically assisted suicide, the doctor or somebody else can't do it for you. Like, they would actually still be charged with murder, which I think is still fucked up. So if you're in that situation, you got to time it right. You know, you gotta check out before your body, you know, is unable to allow you to. So I totally support his decision to do that. And if I ever ended up in that position, I'd be like, get my ass to Oregon or California or any of those states where it's legal. And I want my friends and family around me, and I want to check out on my own terms.
Yeah, because, I mean, honestly, that's no way to go. I mean, trapped in your own body, suffocating to death, unable to move your extremities or anything like that, it's terrible.
Yeah.
And, like, I no judgment there. Like, I think he did the right thing because at least, you know, because there was nothing ahead of him but suffering.
Yeah.
And there's no reason to go through with that. There's just not.
Yeah.
So, you know, big bucket of win for him for all the good he did while alive and all the good he's still doing as a figurehead in the fandom.
Yeah, and that's definitely a life worth living, you know? Like,
I mean,
being famous or being a politician and being in the history books, like, in 100 years, I mean, no one will probably remember his name or my name or your name, but that doesn't matter because he made a difference in the here and now to the people around him and, you know, to the people that loved him. And that's all I want for my life,
yeah,
is to have a positive impact on the people around me while I'm here. So, and I think, you know, he achieved that. And yeah, he didn't live to be 80, but man, he lived a lot in his 55 years. And
he worked with what he got.
Yeah. And dude did not look 55, by the way. Like,
no.
Yeah. He was clearly very young at heart, and it showed.
All right. We're back. We stopped and saved, and Fuzz went and got me a thing from his office, the Miles DF 2019 calendar. It's got, like, 4 GD images in it. The cover is hot as hell. It's the clean version of the calendar, but I'm totally gonna hang this up. And I really should, like, Patreon that guy, because he does, like, a dozen different versions of the image. It's like, mm-hmm. Oh, it's the cute version where Nick's proposing to Judy in the park, and then there's the adult version where he's boning her in the park. Yes.
It's a whole series.
A whole series of stuff. But that is neither here nor there. That is a cool thing, though. Another cool thing this week, I was able to have a Dr. Pepper shake at Whataburger at dinner, and yep, I have suffered no ill effects so Yay. Far. Yay.
Lactaid works really well.
Yeah, it actually did work this time. I also had, like, maybe 4 or 5 ounces of it total, and gave the rest to Panther, who decided he liked it.
And I had a little taste of it. It was actually pretty good.
Yeah, it's Dr. Pepper flavored vanilla milkshake. You would think that would be weird, but you would also think, like, the sweet and spicy bacon burger was weird, or the Buffalo Ranch chicken strip sandwich is weird. It is, but it's really tasty, too. Like, you can get some really unique burgers at Whataburger, and those of you not in Texas are missing out. So if you come to Texas, make sure you get some Whataburger, because they have a rotating schedule of their favorites.
Yeah.
But you get your boring old regular burgers, but you can get the fancy weird ones on a rotating schedule.
Like, I better fast for a day when the A1 Thick and Hearty comes back, because that fucker's like 1,200 calories.
Shove it in your face. This is all my calories for the day, and it's worth it. Just don't get the fries. And drink a Diet Coke. So, we have kind of come up on the tail end of the show. It's also coming up. It's just past 10 o'clock, and I want to get this edited. And I have more family stuff to do tomorrow.
Oh, no. I'm sorry.
Yeah, my mom texted me and was like, hey, do you want to go to the aquarium at Grapevine Mills with them
tomorrow?
You're
like, no.
And I'm like, I still have to finish a shelf for them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm learning to be a handy fox in that I am stripping and sanding and refinishing a display piece that I got from Tesser.
Oh, you had me stripping.
And, well, it had some new agey brand name at the top. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I wonder if I can get this off. And I failed to do so, which then basically results in me needing to strip the entire thing down and restain it. Mm-hmm. But I have to be really thorough with the staining, because the stain I got is a lighter shade than the stain that was on it. Mm-hmm. So it might turn out kind of calico and weird, but it'll be okay, mm-hmm. probably. Because we're also going to restain Panther's large speakers, because they're a bit sun-bleached.
Oh, okay.
Because he got them from his dad, and they were in the sun. They got sun from the outside.
Oh, okay.
So we're going to do this, and then refinish the speakers at some point.
Oh, okay.
But
cool.
I'm learning some handyman things.
Nice.
Much like I'm learning things. Yay. I've been also watching some baking channels on YouTube that are really nice.
Super Nintendo Chalmers, I'm learning.
Yep. And me fail English, that's impossible. So we're going to wrap this thing up. But as it is sort of the first podcast of the month, it's not really, it's the second. We've been neglecting to do so, our Patreon shoutouts, because we do have a Patreon and we appreciate every last one of you, because some of you have given us a lot of money, and you're really cool for it. Patreon.com/SouthPawsCast is us. That donation money goes to funding Fuzz and I's Whataburger habit, and or, you know, whatever. And so we are going to give our shoutouts. Our Patreon list has not gotten too large. You should totally help us get it to be too large to do shoutouts every month, because it would take us 20 minutes to do so, because you should totally do that. Because last podcast used to do it, and they had to stop because it was taking too long, like 10 minutes on the back of every episode to list their patrons, and they had to do it in chunks.
Yeah.
I do remember that the old podcast name did get shouted out once, and they were like, they just kind of moved on, but it was like,
But somebody did mention it on Twitter. They're like, I heard the shout out on this week's episode.
So, major shout outs to Kylie. You are fucking amazing. You have given us so much money. It is nuts. Also, big thanks to Jag Taggart, Shadow De Wolf, Luther, Horshathot. Yes, I don't know. Thank you anyway. William S., Tilton, Brandon Carey. Then also thank you to Pinnerum, Piper Malone, Reelin, Mogu, Linear Screw, Alan, Zirian, Paul M., Jared O., at Brandon G., Chiron, Oren, an Omnibus, Radaya, I can't pronounce your name, I'm sorry, Greg, Meru, Graith, Mog, Day One DLC.
I'm sorry, this is really amusing. I love you doing this because you're just like, Greg,
Anonymous, Wolf Griffin, Idis, Kilkoto, Raxme, Kai, Jaden Drakus, Aaron Quinn, and Tim Zimmerman. All of you are very cool, and thank you very much for donating to the show. You help us make this for good or ill. As Patreons of us, you are in some small part responsible for the evil and the good we put out into the world.
Yes.
You're culpable. You're co-conspirators. Deal with it, nerds. But seriously, thank you.
Yeah, totes thanks.
We're just going to wrap it up this week. We didn't have any emails. You can always email us
at southpawscast@gmail.com.
Message us on our forsaken Tumblr.
We haven't deleted that yet.
Might as well at this point. Nobody uses Tumblr anymore, at least no furries.
Yeah.
southpawscast.tumblr.com. I think we just kind of maintain it so that it doesn't get picked up by some spammer.
Yeah, and also, I mean, there may still be some people
that want to send anonymous questions.
Well, not that also, like, see the links to the episodes there on their Tumblr
True. You know. But as for me, you can find me on Twitter at Saverin Drake. Find me on Twitch at Saverin. Find me at Snouse.online, Saverin, on Mastodon. Find the show on Twitter at SouthPawsCast. We barely use it. We do look at it, but we don't tweet a lot on the account. What about you, Fuzz?
We should probably tweet more.
Yeah, we should.
You should get on that.
Okay. God.
I delegate. That's what I do. No. The problem is I don't delegate enough. Ah!
Do all the things, Fuzz.
No! Ah, it's so much work. You can find me on Twitter at FuzzWolf. That's about it. I occasionally do upload new commissions I've got to my FA. I'm on there as FuzzWolf also. So if you want to look at some Hot Wolf art, occasionally post that there. I've actually got a new sketch that I need to post. It's of my character and JD LeClaid's cute skunk character.
Ah, nice.
We're like looking at our dicks. It's great.
Cool. Oh yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah.
Also, I actually posted some of my commissions recently to my FA.
Oh yeah.
You can find me on FA at Saverin. And I got my one from Renzi titled Getting Banned from Twitch.
Oh, he finished it? Yep. I haven't seen the finished version.
It's gotten like 23 favorites.
Sweet.
It's really nice. Everyone's like, man, Sekiro sure is hard. Yeah, because the description says, well, okay, I said if I didn't beat the boss on the fifth try, I'd show what's under the dress. So that's cool. And also had Regal draw some like just cutesy character concepts for me.
Mm-hmm.
That's cute.
I saw those, yeah.
So you can check those out on Fur Affinity. Yay.
Oh, and furry website news, I believe SoFurry is back up.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They had, like, some hardware failure that was really bad.
Yeah, like, and they had some issues where it was, like, they got the replacement part for something and then it didn't work and they had to, like, send it back and get another one. And that's more time. So, like, you know, these things happen sometimes to long-running websites, and so that's good that they're back up. People can go there, and it's still, like, I think got the most stories, probably, of the furry websites, or probably a higher story-to-art ratio. I'm not sure these days. It's been a while.
Yeah, and you can also see my high-quality faves on FA, which is a really cute May and B image that Kinkit recently did.
Oh!
It's super cute. Look at that. May tails B's cigarette and sucks it in, and she's like, ah!
Like, that does look nice. I'll have to check that out.
It's like, ugh, you're such a dork.
I love that game. Really, I love those characters.
Yeah.
I was so surprised the other day. Boozy was like, I just found out that there's Night in the Woods Rule 34, and that's too much information for me, or something like that. And I'm like, really? Like, interesting anthro-animal characters, and you didn't think that massive amounts of porn had been produced of them and shipping, and
there was somebody selling big titty bee art across from my parents at Fiesta. Like, it was swimsuits, but this gator had massive tits. It was weird. Anyways, so we're gonna wrap this up, and thank you guys for listening, and on that note, good night
and buy books. Oh, one more thing. Speaking of buy books, there's a Kickstarter project out. There's a British publisher that a few years ago did a book called The Bible that was is all essays about bisexuality, as were the often overlooked and maligned sexuality in the LGBT plus spectrum. And volume one did really well. So they're doing a volume two, and the Kickstarter is also going to fund a reprint of volume one. So I went ahead and backed it on Kickstarter. I think I sent you the link a little while ago, but I can find it again, and you can put it in the show notes. But it's not furry or anything, but it's a neat queer publisher that's producing a book of essays on bisexuals and bisexuality. So I look forward to adding it to my book collection. So check that out.